John 16, verse 6, is a quotation that I know that you know very well. Jesus said, "I am the way and the truth and the life." Do you believe that? Do you believe that? Countless millions of people do believe that, but countless billions of people do not believe that. And most of them think that you are bonkers because you believe in Christianity. We talked about that very statement last Sunday, if you were here. Do you remember that? I talked about it and I said, it's Christian Theology 101. And we're going to linger there again today. Why? Because it is important. Because some of you were not here last Sunday. And because some people need to hear it more than one time. So, in that same passage, in John 14, Jesus was telling his disciples that he was going to his Father's house to prepare a place for them. And he said in verse 4, "You know the way to the place where I am going." And Thomas replied, "Lord, we don't know where you're going. How can we know the way?" And that is when Jesus added this truth: "I am the way. I'm it. Look here. I'm it." That is a statement that brings tremendous hope for those who believe in Jesus Christ. And it's a statement that brings infinite challenges to us also. Why? Because of the next sentence. "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Who can come to the Father without Jesus Christ? No one. Because of that, the world sometimes views Jesus Christ as being infinitely arrogant. And furthermore, they think that you and I are deluded because we put our faith in Jesus Christ as the only true God, the only way to God the Father. And again, we talked about all of that last week. What I'm about to say should not be a surprise to anyone here. But here goes. You are sick. You have a terminal illness. You are dying. You are sick with sin. And sin is killing you. It has been since the Garden of Eden. And when it finally does, you are going to go on a journey, and you're either going to go to heaven or you're going to go to hell. Do you know for sure that you're going to go for heaven? Yes, you do. You do know for sure that you're going to go to heaven, or you should know that if Jesus Christ is truly your Savior and your Lord. Now, some of you may not feel very comfortable saying out loud, "I know that I'm going to go to heaven," because you may be afraid that you are going to offend someone. Well, Jesus didn't worry very much about offending people, did he? Who is Jesus? That debate has been going on for centuries. And whatever the answer is, it is the answer. He is either who he said he is or he is not who he said he is. And he said, "I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life." Is Jesus Christ the only way to God? Yes. We live in a pluralistic society, and the common belief is that there are many ways to God. People with that point of view often think about getting to God like they would think about getting to the top of a mountain. They see many roads around the mountain. It doesn't matter which road you take because you'll always rise to the top and end up at the same place. Everyone will get there, really. The Baha'i faith is the epitome of pluralistic thinking in the world of theology. The Baha'is have a membership of 5 million people in 200 countries around the globe, including the United States of America. They believe that there is one God, but that there are many ways to get to that God, many ways to the top of the mountain. And here is a quote from the Baha'i Faith. God restates in every age his purpose and will. Abraham, Moses, Krishna, Buddha, Jesus, and Muhammad were all manifestations of God, and each gave men divine teachings to live by. In our country, you can view their temple. Their temple is located in Chicago, and their temple has many doors around it. And there's a door for Jews, there's a door for Christians, there's a door for the Hindus and the Buddhists. You just pick a door, and you go in, and you all arrive at the same place. Take your pick. It's a buffet, they say. Sounds nice, doesn't it? Sounds nice. Of course, there are many problems with their thinking. And just one of them is that the various religions of the world teach contradictory things. For instance, for the Hindu, reincarnation is central, and they worship the cow more than they worship the human being. There are many Jews who deny the afterlife. There are some who are Muslims in Islam who are radical, and they believe that they should kill people who do not identify with their faith. Pluralism is like going to the dentist with a root canal and having the dentist say to you, there are many ways I can get to your tooth. I can go directly to it, or I can go through your ear and I'll get there, or I could go through your nostril and I will get there, or I could go up through your chin. I'll always get to the same place. At that point, I would find a new oral surgeon, wouldn't you? Here is a biblical example of pluralism, and I'm taking it from Acts chapter 16, beginning in verse 16. But the illustration of pluralism in this passage is not readily apparent. I'll read it, and then I'll explain. Listen, once when we were going to the place of prayer, we were met by a slave girl who had a spirit by which she predicted the future. She earned a great deal of money for her owners by fortune-telling. This girl followed Paul and the rest of us, shouting, "These men are servants of the Most High God who are telling you the way to be saved." She kept this up for many days. Finally, Paul became so troubled that he turned around and he said to the spirit, "In the name of Jesus Christ, I command you to come out of her." And at that moment, the spirit left her. Now, here's insight into that story. In the original language, this is what the girl was literally saying. These men are servants of the Most High God who are telling you a way of salvation. And that made them angry, because there is only one way. That's why Paul got angry, and he exercised the demon who was actually the one who was speaking. The source of pluralism is demonic. Satan is behind all of it. There is only one way to God, and that is through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you believe that? Now, if you do believe that, and if you hold that position, you're going to hear some people offer strong objections to your faith. And here are just some of the common ones. Are you saying that some people are not going to go to heaven? You Christians are so arrogant. What kind of God would be so narrow to say that there is only one way to him? Let's tackle those objections. First, are we saying that there are some people who are not going to heaven? Yes, that's exactly what we're saying. I have preached that before, including last Sunday, and I was interested that there were some precious people right here in this fellowship who were surprised to hear that. Let's be clear. Some people are not going to heaven. The objectors say things like this. Well, what about those people who've never heard the gospel? That's the proverbial African native that's never had a missionary visit them. Or what about those people who have heard the gospel, but they've rejected it? Or they might say, what about those people who are living a good life? Surely you're not saying that they are condemned to hell, Are you? Well, what do you say to people when they say things like that? I suggest you say to them what God said. For those who have not heard the gospel, God says they are still accountable. He said it in Romans 1. According to Romans 1, verse 18 through 20, God said that he has been revealed to everyone through what he has created. They have perceived it, and therefore they are without excuse. Man can know God by what God has given to us in this world. And here is a wonderful biblical example. His name is Abraham. His faith in God was so strong that God counted it to him as righteousness. Abraham did not have faith in Jesus Christ because Jesus Christ had not yet been revealed to mankind. But Abraham still knew God. God had revealed himself to Abraham. Abraham trusted God. Now, what about somebody who has heard the gospel, but they have rejected the gospel? Are they going to go to hell? Yes. Moving on. What about those who are living a good life? Well, the Bible is very clear on that one, too. There is no one living a good life. There's no, not one, not one. I don't like hearing that. You don't like hearing that. Romans 3. Every person is going to go to hell, including every person right here, because of our terminal illness. Every single one of us is going to go to hell because of our terminal illness. Were it not for God's miraculous cure, redemption, through the Lord Jesus Christ, our true one Savior. That is why it is so incumbent upon you and me to share this message of salvation through Jesus Christ with everyone. If you were here last Sunday, you're saying, I think I've heard all this before. Okay, listen to it again. That is why it is so incumbent upon us to share this truth of salvation through Jesus Christ with everyone. However, it is not incumbent upon us to try to save them, because we cannot save them. They are saved only through the blood of Jesus Christ. Here's another one of those common objections. You Christians are so arrogant. You say that you're the only ones going to go to heaven. You know what? That could be true of some Christians. Arrogance could be true of some of us. If a Christian or anyone else takes the attitude that my way is the only way to God because it is my way, they're being arrogant. The truth is that we believe that Jesus is the one way because he said it, because he revealed it to us. And he is God. Matthew 3, this is my beloved Son with whom I am well pleased. Philippians 2, therefore God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow. Here's another common objection. What kind of a God would say that Christ is the only way? How could you follow a God who is so narrow-minded? Well, you know what? A compass is pretty narrow-minded, too. It points to magnetic north because it's correct. Can you imagine standing before God and saying something like this, God, thank you, but you have just not done enough. Thank you, Lord, but you're just too narrow-minded. Do I really have to believe, Lord, in Jesus? Can I believe in somebody else who died even though they didn't go to a cross? Now where is the arrogance? That's what people do. They're being arrogant before God. They should be condemned by him with lightning bolts. But not yet, God says. If Jesus Christ is not the Christ, if God is not God, then Christians are arrogant and our faith should be refuted. But if Jesus is the Christ, if God is God, that is not arrogance. It is our privilege to worship him and exalt him and love him and share him. Now here is one scripture verse that you do not need to write on a 3x5 card and work at memorization because you know it. For God so loved the world. Not a lightning bolt. God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. God loves even those who challenge him with their arrogance and their disbelief and their lack of faith. Remind them of that. God loves you. God loves you. And you should love them enough to tell them that God loves them. People need the Lord. I predicted last Sunday that God might put someone in your path this past week who did not know Jesus Christ. Did that happen? Or were you just not aware of it? I predicted that you would hear a voice whisper in your ear, tell them about Jesus. Did that happen? Did you do it? I predict that God's not through with you yet. If you know the way, he wants you to share it and show it to other people. Do you remember what follows those famous words of Jesus in John 3:16? Have you memorized the other verses? I'm going to begin in John 3:17. And when you encounter people who challenge your faith and don't know Jesus Christ, share with them more than just John 3:16. Share these words too. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already because he has not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but men loved darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light. I heard the voice of Jesus say, I am this dark world's light. Look unto me, thy morn shall rise, and all the day be bright. I look to Jesus, and I found in him my star, my sun. And in that light of light I'll walk till traveling days are done. You know the way. Don't keep it to yourself. Let's pray. Lord God, thank you for showing us the light. Thank you for giving us our Redeemer, our Savior, our friend, our brother, our healer, your Son. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you have redeemed us, that you love us. And I pray, Lord, that we will always love you with passion. And Lord, we're going to sing about it now. Receive our song. In Jesus' name, amen.